Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for your intentions. I want to pray for anyone who's battling addiction. You know, I know it's a heavy cross personally when you carry that, but I think it's an incredibly difficult cross as well for family members who have parents or siblings or spouses that battle addiction. So my heart goes out to you. I want to pray for those intentions. I want to pray for Phil Flynn, who surprised me today with an earlier call, and in particular for his niece, who's now recovering, for Peter Grandage, for John Morales, for so many of the Bob Tabali, all these people who called a little bit earlier today in the broadcast, and for all the great contributors to this radio program. I'm so honored just to be able to be the conductor, the orchestra conductor, so to speak. There's so many talented people that come and share their expertise and their knowledge, and the fact that I can be here and have great conversations with them is just a privilege to me. So I'm going to pray in Thanksgiving for this opportunity that I have to not only pray with you, but to take a look at life through the eyes of our faith. And I'm very grateful to be able to pray with you on a daily basis. So pray for me today. All right, say a prayer for me. I would appreciate it. I could certainly use those prayers. We all could use prayers, right? Maggie, good to have you with me today. What are we praying for this afternoon?
Oh, it's a pleasure to
pray.
A lot of colleagues here. everybody in the YouTube chat is wishing you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes.
It is my birthday.
The cat is out of the bag.
I was trying to keep it on the down low. Phil gave it away. It's so funny.
Yeah, but other than that, just prayers of Thanksgiving for you and for everyone on this team.
That's great. I'm going to pray for my mother today, too.
Yes.
And my father.
Yes.
Right? They both had a big role in my birthday.
She remembers it well, I'm sure.
I'll lift them up as well. So we'll pray for you and for all of your particular intentions. And I do want to pray for those who are really suffering with addiction. I know it can be one of the most powerful battles that you can face. And it's a struggle. I know it can feel isolating. I know those chains can seem unbreakable. But I do want to remind you, no matter what you're facing, you are not alone. There is hope. There is healing. And God's on your side. I mean, I just want to give you encouragement. I want you to know you're not alone in this. I know it seems dark. Maybe you're struggling financially or with health. And maybe there's some other crisis in your life. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And there's freedom from that sickness. There's freedom from that addiction. There's freedom from that financial problem you're facing. And not partial. I'm talking complete freedom. And that's the promise that the Lord gives us. And let's pray for that today. Let's give the Lord our heart. Let's stand on those scriptures that the Lord has given us. You know, let's pray big. Let's believe. Remember that with God, all things are possible. So I just want to say to you today, stay close. Do not lose hope. All right? Do not lose hope. Stay close to the Lord. He hears you. He's with you. And we'll pray right now. I'm going to try to get a few extra calls on today. And maybe I'll share an answer prayer before we start. Let me see if I can open it. And thank you, by the way. A lot of the emails are coming in. The Satanist called yesterday. He actually...
Dustin.
And Dustin sent me his story. He sent that in as well. So I'm grateful for Dustin taking the time to write up the story. As you get your answered prayers, there are many answered prayers through this Chapel of Divine Mercy. There's a book in the back of our chapel with those names, and I've got to start printing out the rest of these. I keep your name confidential. I'd strike it from the petition, but you know, we'd love to inspire others with God's mercy. This person said, a few weeks ago, I asked for prayers for a friend, a person we know from church, because he was jobless. He was desperate and in need of employment, as he didn't think he'd even be able to make his rent payment any longer. And we called and we prayed, and I just want to share with everyone that our gracious God heard those prayers. He was offered a wonderful job today. He is so excited, and so am I. Thank you, Maggie, Drew, and all the prayer warriors for this beautiful miracle for this man. Amen. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Renee, thank you very much for your email there. And let's pray. There's so many others that are coming in, but I want to get you on the air, and we'll ask for God's mercy today as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
All right, we'll go to Studio City, California first today. Larry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. My prayer is, may everyone who is fighting the war in Gaza or suffering from its consequences come to realize, under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit, that they are all made in the image and likeness of God, and begin to treat each other accordingly. And may this realization cause the ocean of God's mercy to envelop all of Israel and then flow out from there and envelop the whole world.
Larry, what a beautiful prayer. Thank you for that. And I want to pray for you, for your personal needs and for your intentions. But Larry, praying in particular for the war in Gaza, a lot of collateral damage there, a lot of healing needed. And Lord, I just pray for peace in Gaza, for a prompt resolution to that conflict. I want to pray for Ukraine and for Russia, for an end to that war, for peace in the world, for conversion of world leaders, conversion of our own leaders, and for our country, Lord, that you will protect the United States of America from degeneration, disaster, disease, and war. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I want to pray for Chidakala as well, that many people can discover it and those who are there can find healing. Monique is in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Monique.
Hello, Drew.
Hey.
Hello, Maggie. I keep you and all of your components in prayer.
Thank you very much.
I'm calling for two reasons. Reason number one, my son, who used to stay here in Chicago, now lives in California and has not spoken to me in 20 years.
Oh,
he made 53, or he will make 53 this year in August. And I'm not angry that he won't speak to me. I'm just angry that I don't know why. And I did mention to the caller what had happened. And then the other thing I want to ask, I'm going through changes financially because February 19th of this year, someone stole my handbag and did an awful lot of financial damage to me. I'm a single person. I've not had any help. So I wanted prayers for that, and also, Mr. Mariani, I want to happy birthday to you because you and I share the same birthday.
All right, hey.
My birthday is today, and I am 72 years old.
Monique, I am going to pray for you today, okay, for all of my fellow birthdayees, if you will. We share a great day together. Happy birthday to you.
Yes, we do. Thank you.
Well, let's ask
Without
the Lord.
The grace of God, I couldn't make it. I have a lot of faith in God.
Yes, you
do. I know what he can do.
Amen. I am with you. You are a prayer warrior. Let's pray for the conversion of the heart of your son. That's a deep wound to a mother. I mean, I feel so, so bad for you that you're separated from your son. He's missing out on, well, such a gift. I know that you love him very much.
I loved him enough to send him to St. Ignatius High School, and he graduated from there. And then from there, he went to UCLA in 1994, got a degree in chemical engineering. Yes, I did.
Yes,
I had to do that by myself.
Oh, wow. Poor thing. Well, let's pray for you. Let's pray that God sends an angel to return to you those stolen goods, too. I feel really bad for you, but we're going to pray for birthday presents, all right? Lord, I ask you to give her a divine gift. First and foremost, I pray for the conversion of her son and for unity, that she may find peace and reconciliation and a reconnection with her son. And the gift that you gave to her, Lord, bring back. So I don't know how you're going to resolve that, but I do pray that special graces flow today. For anyone who has division between parent and child or between sibling or between friend or colleague, whatever the dynamic may be, Lord, I pray for your divine healing. Send forth those messengers, those angels to bring souls back. I want to pray for those items that have been lost, for those who've been robbed and victimized, as Monique has. But I also want to pray for everyone who's having a birthday today. Give them special graces. And we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we take any more calls. Janet in Chicago, you are on deck. I'll get right to you. Let me jump over to Maggie. And by the way, if you want to share your answered prayer, send me an email, drew@relevantradio.com. I read all the emails. I can't always write back to everyone because I get a lot of emails. But I do see them, and I do pray for you. But I really love those testimonies. Markham answered prayer, praise report, and the emails drew@relevantradio.com. Maggie has her eyes on all of our social media platforms. You can send her a post on our X platform at Drew Mariani Show. That's at Drew Mariani Show. You can also do it at Drew Mariani, and you can leave them on YouTube and Facebook. And as Maggie was saying, a lot of people wishing me a happy birthday on YouTube and Facebook. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Maggie, what's coming in?
Jorge wrote to us on X. He says, Drew and Maggie from Indianapolis here, praying for my sinus infection to go away. My voice is very squeaky and it's hard for me to talk. I noticed my throat started to be scratchy since the weekend. Jesus, I trust in you.
And Indianapolis is one of our newest affiliates,
yes,
I think, too.
Yes.
So it's great to be in Indy. That's
yep.
great. Look forward to it.
Angelica wrote to us. She said, please pray for friend's daughter who suffered a seizure at work and is in the ICU on life support with massive bleeding on her brain. Catherine wrote to us. She said, needed prayers for my son. He graduated from college in November and still has not been able to find a job. He's now dealing with self-doubt, self-worth, and other things that start to come into your mind. Trisha wrote to us. She said, please pray for the healing of my 27-year-old daughter who's suffering from severe migraines, depression, and anxiety. She hasn't seen a doctor yet, stays in bed all day, and needs strength and health to apply for a job. She's also a recent college graduate. Faith Marie wrote to us. She said, I was an ex-smoker for many years, and many times I went back to my smoking. I prayed to Saint Rita, and she helped me become a non-smoker.
Oh, good for you.
Non-smokers never think of cigarettes when everything, when things go wrong. She says, I've been a non-smoker now for 19 and a half years.
Wow.
That's awesome, Faith. And Janet wrote to us. She said, prayers of thanksgiving for Ken, who was just released after days in the hospital for a possible stroke or neuro issues. We called the chaplet. We didn't get on air, though, but the prayers from our Relevant Radio prayer family are still very powerful.
Amen to that.
She says also prayers for successful surgery for him on Friday.
Yeah, it's such a good point. I hit on that for just a minute because, look, we only have so many phone lines that somebody can get on through. And not every intention can be read and shared online. But, you know, we join together as a prayer community. And that's what I love so much about this. We're praying for each other now, but I'm also praying for you late in the day and when I spend time with the Lord, the Mass, and during the Rosary. And there's a power in this community of prayer. That's why we see such fruit from it. Anything else, Meg?
That's it.
All right. Well, let's pray for you, too. We'll pray for your baby. And for all that's coming up for you, a lot of transitions for Maggie in the days ahead, that's for sure. So we'll lift her up. All right, we'll pray. We'll bring Janet into the mix, too, here as we continue with this beautiful prayer. Janet, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Drew. Maggie just read my intention from yesterday. I'll do a follow-up because Ken was having those neurological issues. We were asked to pray, said it was critical for in the next 24 hours, and then suddenly he was going home. And so we don't know, how that happened, yeah. Right? But anyway, so for his complete healing and for his wife to be able to give him the care that he needs. And also Thanksgiving for some plumbing problems that were resolved. I know it may seem small, but it was a big thing for me. And okay. I am having surgery tomorrow. So for a successful surgery. And lastly, so that I could go to the National Eucharistic Congress.
Yeah. Hey, if you go, stop by, say hello. Okay, Janet, love to see you. Hey, good, Maggie. Why don't you open your mic and share that with her? Maggie was just saying something in my headset.
Janet, and for anyone listening, Father Rocky is making mention of this every night on the Rosary, that there is a solidarity fund that has been set up as well. If you want to go but maybe don't have the funds to attend, you can apply for help through this solidarity fund. And I believe that information is connected on our relevantradio.com/indie page.
Yeah. Relevantradio.com/indie. You can find it. Hope to see you there. Janet, what time's your surgery tomorrow, by the way?
It's at 10:45.
I'll be at Mass at 11, so I'll tell you what. I will remember you in my prayers tomorrow, especially during surgery. All right? We'll pray for you now. Lift you up. Lord, I give you thanks for these prayers and the prayer of thanksgiving for Ken, who had this stroke and is now going home. I give you Janet's surgery and all those right now who are either recovering, facing surgery, waiting test results. Lord, I give you all these intentions that have come through, those with electrical and plumbing problems, car problems, financial problems. Lord, you know the temporal crosses that we often carry and to come our way. Give us the fortitude to carry them. Give us the faith to see through them. And Lord, we ask for your providence as we navigate them. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, up next is Alicia from Redondo Beach, California. Hi, Alicia. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Happy birthday.
Hey,
hello, Maggie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm praying for young adult family members as suffering from alcohol addiction, depression, anxiety. I'd also like to include our young children that are suffering from this gender ideology, getting sucked up into it, that the Lord Jesus just helps them and Our Lady comes to them. And for everything else in my heart, thank you, Drew.
You got it. We're going to pray. Good prayer, right? I love it. We'll give the Lord our hearts, right? All those intentions that we have. But let's pray for addictions. You know what, Alicia? I know we pray to St. Maximilian Kolbe, who's the patron saint of that. But this Mother Elvira, I believe in the blesseds, those who've gone before us, you know, the venerables, the servants of God. This woman apparently was called forth by God and has helped a lot of people with addiction. So I'm going to ask her to pray along with us. St. Faustina, St. Therese, they all promised that, you know, their mission would only begin after their deaths, and they would intercede powerfully for us. So I just give the addicted to you again, Lord. I give you all of Alicia's intentions. I give you my heart along with all who now pray with me as we turn to you again with confidence and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to New Jersey next, let me jump back over to Maggie. What's coming in?
I just want to let everyone know I was just made aware that today is National Hug a Plumber Day. And my father-in-law, Joe's dad, Mr. C, is a wonderful plumber. And so I just want to lift up all of those men and women in the trades out there who save people all the time from disasters.
That's good to know. People often say you need a doctor or a lawyer in the family. You need a plumber in the family, an electrician and a mechanic.
He gets emergency calls all the time, saving people on like Thanksgiving Day. Wow.
God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give him a hug, all right? We'll go to Marie next in Jersey. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Drew. I'm praying for my eye. I have one of them went blind about 12 years ago for a doctor's mistake. And now the other one that I have left has macular glaucoma.
Oh, no.
And I almost called you so many times, but I kept saying, well, if this is God's will for me, I just need to accept it. No. But then last weekend, my eyes started filling with blood, and they don't know what it is, and I could lose my vision. So I think I need a little miracle.
You know, Marie, never limit. You call anytime you want, right? I mean, you can ask God to heal, right? I mean, God may have, this might be part of his divine plan for you, right? I love your attitude of submitting to God's will and being willing to carry whatever cross he gives you, but God's a generous God, and he's told St. Faustina that sometimes he's saddened by the fact we don't ask for much. You know, we limit our intentions. That's why I always say, let's pray big. Let's ask God for whatever we need and whatever we want, because he's a generous God and he desires to give much. And that's what he told her. He desires to give much. God is love and mercy itself. St. Faustina wrote in her diary that no mind, be it human or angelic, will ever, ever be able to fathom the depths of God's mercy. And so I think it's one of the great mysteries of the afterlife. I think we'll contemplate this for all eternity. We'll be eternally grateful for our Heavenly Father's mercy. So right now, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, we've had miracles of restoration of sight. Padre Pio healed a man whose eye was missing. There's been children in Champion, Wisconsin. If you can take a pilgrimage there, it might be a good idea to do that. When those visions first began, people came to the site. There was a boy who was, or a girl who was born without any pupils in her eye, and received the miraculous. Her vision was restored. I mean, it's bizarre stuff. So, Lord, I just pray for these miracles happen. I just pray for Marie with her one remaining eye, and I ask for healings of vision for all those who are suffering with it. We thank you for James Bosco. We continue to pray for his restoration of sight as well. Abby is in Minnesota. We're going to add her to the final decade here as well. Hi, Abby. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm calling with a praise report first off. I felt so called to share this when I woke up this morning. But my husband and I got pregnant before we were married, and I just entrusted our marriage discernment and the healing from that sin to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I knew about it because I've been listening to you since I was a little kid. And then after we had been married for a few months, I found out that he had had a decades-long porn addiction that he had hid from me. And I just entrusted that to the Divine Mercy Chaplet, too. And he's been porn-free for over a year now, and our marriage is more beautiful and stronger than ever. And, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I just want to, if anyone's struggling with sexual sin, I just feel really called to share that they should just entrust that to the Divine Mercy of Jesus, and he will heal that.
Amen.
And I'm so confident of that. And I also just wanted to ask for a prayer intention. My little sister, she's 14 years old, and she has she's been struggling with some mental health issues and suicidal thoughts. So I just lift that up. And also, she has major hip surgery that she's going to have to go through sometime in the near future.
Well, let's lift her up. We'll pray for physical healing and emotional healing as well. And Abby, what a beautiful testimony to life you are as a mother choosing to have that child. And I know that baby, that child of yours, is going to be the biggest blessing of your life. And God's already rewarding you with the liberation of your husband from a porn addiction. And God can heal. It's not just alcohol. It's not just drugs. He can heal sexual addictions and other proclivities and compulsive behaviors. Lord, I give you those with suicidal ideation, those with crippling anxiety and depression. Lord, I give you those finding themselves in a crisis pregnancy and thinking about perhaps terminating their child. I give you Abby. I just pray you fortify her, give her special graces that she could be a witness to so many others. And we thank you for the miracles that continue to flow through this beautiful prayer, the chaplet. And I give to you the needs, the wants, the desires of all who are now united with me. And Father, I thank you for the way you are working. I thank you for your mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Sorrowful.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Saint Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Mother Elvira.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Saint Mark, too. Patron saint today. That's his day. Pray for us. One of the great gospel writers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I have to take a quick break, but stay with me. When I return, archaeologists are claiming they found giant skeletons in Nevada caves. And it made me think, were there a race of giants that once existed? Is that even possible? In various parts of Scripture, they're referenced. We'll take a look at that with a biblical expert. Right after this.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
The University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, offers graduate degrees in education, business, and humanities that can help you seek wisdom, live abundantly, and pursue your calling. Learn more at relevantradio.com/UDallas. That's relevantradio.com/UDallas.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, it's great to be with you today. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, tell others about the chaplet. Tell them about it as well, I should say. It's on every day at the same time. Right? I love praying. Send me your answered prayers, Drew and relevantradio.com. Okay, I know God's at work there. I came across a story I want to share with you. It sounds like something you'd see out of some crazy, you know, magazine somewhere. But I'm kind of fascinated by this stuff. It's weird. There was a few weeks ago, there was an interesting story about a reputed discovery of a race of giants in a Nevada cave. The cave is near Lovelock, and the story goes that miners in the early 1900s were looking for guano, which was used at the time for gunpowder and fertilizer. And the story goes that, you know, as they dug in the ground, they came across skeletons. They discovered 60 people who are estimated to be not 5 feet, not 6 feet, but 8 to 10 feet tall. Now, the claim was never verified, though there were some oral histories from local native tribes about a battle with a very fierce tribe. There were also, they claimed to have found like 15-inch shoe-like objects in this dig as well. My buddy Mike Brown, who is down in St. Augustine, Florida, down in that area down in southern Florida, he wrote a piece about an archaeological dig that, you know, somebody had found with again, these giant skeletons that have been found. So it just raised questions for me. I was wondering, you know, the story goes, made me think of the Bible. Of course, Goliath, right? He was considered to be a giant. But before we even get to him, if you go back to the book of Numbers, there were the scouts whom Moses sent into the promised land, and they came upon the Anakim, who were supposed to be descendants of the Nephilim. And in some translations, that word Nephilim is rendered as giants. There were also the Nephilim who were mentioned in the mysterious passage in Genesis chapter 6. Who, you know, just who were these giants? Where did they come from? How are we to interpret? Is it figurative or is it literal? Dr. John Bergsma, he joins me today. He's a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, a senior fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, and an expert in the Dead Sea Scrolls and a lot of different aspects of sacred scripture. You can check him out. His website, easy one to remember, CatholicBibleTeacher.com. CatholicBibleTeacher.com. Doctor, it's good to connect with you. Thanks for making time for me today.
Absolutely, Drew, and happy birthday.
I can't escape it. Thank you. When's your birthday, Doc?
January 17th.
So it's behind us. All right, I got to wait a little while for that. Well, I'm delighted to have you here. You've been friend of the show for a very long time. It's great to be able to talk with you. I've been looking to talk to you about this whole phenomenon of giants, and maybe you can give me some insight on it. Let's maybe start with the passage of Genesis, which talks about, depending, I guess, on your translation, that these sons of gods who began to mate with women, you know that passage I'm talking about? Who are the giants? Who are these sons of gods that supposedly mated with women? And take us through what you know.
Sure. So in ancient times, that passage was often thought to be referring to fallen angels who cohabitated with human women. And you find that in some ancient Jewish literature. But the church has always understood the sons of God there to be referring to the covenant line of Seth. Son of God is it can be a covenant term. And the daughters of men to refer to the covenant breaking line of Cain. And so what you have there at the beginning of Genesis 6 is, you know, I sometimes tell my students, church boys marrying biker girls, something of that nature, but intermarriage between these two lines, one which was trying to keep covenant with God and the other that wasn't. And so you kind of lose a community then. The community of God's covenant falls apart. And their children are referred to as Nephilim, which in Hebrew, which means fallen ones, probably in a moral sense. Now, the interesting thing is, Drew, when the Hebrew Bible was translated into Greek, that old version that we call the Septuagint, translators around the 3rd century BC, they translated the term fallen ones or Nephilim as gigantes. And that's the origin of the idea of the giants. Apparently, the translators tried to match up the biblical storyline with Greek mythology, which speaks of a race of giants that were the children of the gods that fought with the gods in the early period of Earth's history. So that's the origin of how that came into the Jewish and Christian tradition.
So, you know, I know you're an expert in Dead Sea Scrolls. You've been to Qumran. You know, biblical archaeology is kind of your forte as well. The idea of giants, right? It's not just confined to the Judeo-Christian tradition. I mean, nearly every culture has legends of giants, whether it's from the Greek Titans to the Norse. There's stories that speak of, you know, these giant people. Is there any hard evidence? Has archaeology confirmed any existence of these giants? And who was Goliath? I mean, was he a giant in the literal sense, or was that maybe figurative as well?
Yeah, those are great questions. Well, as far as hard evidence, you know, there's reports and tantalizing pieces of evidence that come and then are hard to verify. So we don't have a firm proof, but at the same time, Drew, I would not be surprised if at some point we find verification of much larger human beings in antiquity. Yeah. When you look at pretty much every modern animal is known to have had larger forms in ancient times. We have giant penguins that, you know, 7 foot tall and 250 pounds. You know, we have giant sloths, giant cats, you know, et cetera. So it really wouldn't surprise me. And I think it's something that is realistic and that we should be, you know, open to just, you know, look at what the evidence is. Two forces are at work, Drew. On the one hand, folks that find things have motivation to kind of exaggerate a bit and maybe create a tourist attraction. On the other hand, scientists are very hesitant to ever endorse something sensational, and they have a tendency to push aside evidence into a back room or a box somewhere that doesn't fit with the standard paradigm. So you got forces working in both directions, and it's hard oftentimes with some of these sensational finds to really get to the hard facts of the case, since there's ideologies at work.
Well, let me do this. I'm going to open the phones too. If you've got a question, you have a theory, you want to join us, something to share, the number to get in is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149 to join the conversation with Dr. John Bergsma. And it's always great to have you here with us. You know, these beings that we hear about, the Nephilim, the Raphium, Anakim, and others, they're primarily found in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. And they've come under these different type of names. We don't hear any mention of them post. Were they wiped out in the flood? I mean, what's your thought on that?
Yeah. Well, the Nephilim mentioned in Genesis 6 would have died in the flood. But thereafter, you know, as you mentioned, Drew, the spies that go into land encounter the sons of Anak or the Anakim, which are, you know, just a very tall race. And you got to remember, too, Drew, that the Israelites were, you know, for the most part, under 5'5". So if they encounter someone who's, say, 6'5", or in my case, I've got two sons who are 6'7".
That's big.
If they had run into it, it really would have been considered a giant. Yeah. So it's, you know, that's not at all outside of the realm of possibility. So we're talking about tall races, without a doubt. I would have no problem endorsing that. These Anakim and the Rephaim, these are tall races that really intimidated the people of Israel. You know, were they over 7 feet tall and so on? Well, I'd like to see some archaeological evidence for that before endorsing that, but yeah, it could be possible.
Well, let me do this. We'll take a break. When we come back, we can talk more. We'll take a few calls. 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at the giants of the Old Testament. Some claim there were some even here in the U.S. Was there a time in which giants, at least different races of giants, roamed the earth? We're exploring that mystery and more. Feel free to dial in 888-914-9149. We're back right after this.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the relevant radio archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Viviana, who's listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your life connected.
Well, thanks for joining me today, taking a look at a topic that's shrouded in mystery and intrigue. The giants of the Old Testament. Did these colossal beings, did they really walk the earth? And what does archaeology say about their existence? I'm exploring that today with Dr. John Bergsma. You can check him out at his name as well. It's johnbergsma.com. You know, we're talking not just about the Nephilim, but there are many other giants that have been mentioned in the Old Testament. In Genesis 14, you hear about the Raphaim. They were mentioned several times, often in the context of ancient battles, and they were described as a formidable people, both in size and in strength. They lived in the region of Canaan. Of course, we've already discussed the Nephilim. And then, of course, there's the Anakim and Goliath, right? And 1 Samuel 17, you know, not explicitly called a Nephilim, but Goliath is perhaps one of the most famous giants in the Bible. Was he just a large man, or was he a giant? Was he of massive size? I remember reading somewhere where, I think it was the spies that were sent into Cana that report seeing these fearsome giants made him feel like grasshoppers by comparison. That's not just a large man. That is a giant of some sort. Or is this all figurative? Doctor, it's good to have you with us. A lot of these mysteries are fun to dive into. We'll go right to the phones and take a few calls. Stephen is in Clearwater, Florida. He's up first. Stephen, hi. You're on there with Dr. Bergsma. Go right ahead.
Yes, this fits into yesterday's topic. Remember, you were talking about some outer space things and different civilizations and stuff. NASA knows from experiments on the space shuttle that if you take seedlings or other small animals and you raise them on the space shuttle, okay, they become larger than they are on Earth. And the reason why is because what determines our size is a feed mechanism. You become so big and there's stresses and stuff get on your body when you reach a certain size and you quit growing. Well, if you were taken, and let's say that they took some humans to another planet, raised them on a low gravity planet, they would know, and this is a fact, we know this to be true, they would become larger and taller than they would on Earth.
Do you think they're alien? Is that what you're saying?
I think that I don't think they're aliens. I think that they were humans that were taken to another human. You got to remember, we go back millions of years.
Okay.
And so that race came back to Earth, they would be larger. That we know is a fact.
All right, great. Let me get Dr. Bergsman in on this, too. I mean, that's an interesting theory, Doctor, that perhaps, you know, there was interplanetary travel, and maybe that explains the size of these creatures. I'll throw that to you.
Wow, that is quite the hypothesis. So it sounds sensational. It is sensational. You know, I would just want to see the evidence for that. You know, I'd want to see, you know, what physical evidence do we have that there was interplanetary travel in antiquity? You know, I want to remain open-minded to things because, you know, in the history of science, we've been, you know, very much surprised.
Of course, I'm always
the whole
open.
Big Bang theory. You know, all the universe in a pinprick point. You know, exploding, et cetera. That's considered standard now, but it seems preposterous, and it certainly was regarded that way. So I'm open, but again, really would like to see what the evidence for that is.
St. Augustine, one of the great doctors of the church, proposed that some of these references to giants may not be literal. He suggested that they may refer to the magnitude of their sinful pride rather than their physical stature. That's an interesting theory, too, to look at. Maybe they weren't this large, but I kind of like your theory where, you know, perhaps there was a period in time where people like, you know, the animals that roamed the earth had much larger size. Maybe the flood took care of that, or maybe they died out. Let's go to Elliot in Silicon Valley, California. Elliot, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. Earlier on, both you and Dr. John referred to the biblical flood of Noah as if it was an actual historic event.
Right.
We know that it's not, that it was not something that actually happened.
Yeah.
You don't actually believe in it, do you?
So, Doctor, you want to handle that one? You and I have talked about the flood of Noah many times.
Yeah, no, I do believe in a worldwide flood, and it's not just Christians that believe that. It's you find more and more people approaching the question from different scientific points of view. But even in mainstream science, we have, you know, when you look at the geological record, they would explain the enormous amounts of marine deposited, that is ocean deposited sediments, that's all the way across North America, in terms of multiple, essentially, pan-global floods. So it's actually, if you believe in just one global flood, you know, on a biblical model, you believe in less global floods than it's actually is believed in mainstream geology. So, yeah, I do. And there's different possibilities for when the date of that flood would be, and, you know, there's different folks working on the chronology of that. But I do believe the Bible speaks of a global flood associated with Noah.
Well, that's quite a story. If I could ask another question, at that time, during the flood, certainly other people had boats and they had fishing equipment. Mm-hmm. What was to stop somebody from just getting on a boat with a fishing rod and a reel and some bait and surviving by floating around and fishing and eating raw fish?
Yeah, well, if you look at the geological forces that would be unleashed by the amount of water that we're talking about, you're not going to survive that in a small fishing craft. So you'd need really divine providence to survive it under any conditions. So, that's how I'd...
You know, we'll have to do a show on this, Doctor, because, you know, there's this period, the Younger Dryas is a fascinating period in the Earth's history, you know, for a sudden and temporary reversal of cold conditions and generally warming. And a lot of people think that, and that happened, I think, 12,000 years ago, somewhere around that time period. Some people say, hey, that may account for the global flood. And there's a couple theories as to what set that off. But, you know, this is not just a story out of the Catholic Bible. I mean, there are Mesopotamian texts. You know, the Epic of Gilgamesh talks about a flood story. There's Hindu mythology. There's Greek mythology. There's all sorts of in fact, in the caves of North American Indians, there's a story of a great flood and a man who survived it. So I find it fascinating.
Every human culture. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to go ahead and bring it back for the flood. Today we are talking giants of the Old Testament. I think it's a great, great topic. But let's go to Tucson, Arizona next. Tom's got a comment for you, Doc. Tom, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. And the good doctor, I agree with him wholeheartedly. I think a lot of the stuff we see are adaptations. I mean, even as a child, I remember making what I called swamp shoes so I could better walk in mushy conditions. And I remember being able to trick my older cousins into thinking that there was some giant running around because it kind of looked like that in footprints.
Hilarious.
Sure.
Yeah, and so we see this. And as a scientist, we know that the density and the axis and the speed of our rotation means gravity is different. So we know that these things change during time. With less gravity, we have larger species, which you've already talked about. So it's unlikely we have aliens. It's more likely we just have scientific explanations, and we just have to take a longer view in broader context and quit believing we know everything.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, John, thank you so much for your call. And Maggie, what do we have, 2 minutes left? Doctor, we only have about a minute and a half left. Thank you, Tom. I'll let you respond to Tom. And just some final thoughts on the biblical narrative and the stories of these ancient giants.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, tall races, they may have these ancient people like the Anakim. They may have been within the range of what we're familiar with today, you know, The Frisians that I come from in Holland would have been considered giants in antiquity. One of the tallest races in Europe. I think Drew, when we look at the scriptures, the Vatican II tells us what's asserted by the human author is asserted by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So we trust that it's true. It's just a question of in what way is it true? How is it true? And there are large people in antiquity, exact size. You know, we have to look at the evidence of that, but we should be open-minded.
Yeah, well said. Doctor, thank you for your time. I wish we had more of it to talk. It's a great subject. I appreciate you being here, and let's catch up soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, Drew. Happy birthday again.
Thank you so much. That's Dr. John Bergsma. Check him out online. He does take some pilgrimages to the Holy Land, and you can find him at johnbergsman.com, catholicbibleteacher.com, and a lot of great resources there. Last name's Bergsma.